So if you would turn to Jeremiah, we'll be in Jeremiah a little bit later. But again, I want to thank Pastor and Church for all that you've done for us. And you know, there's many people out there that have never heard even John 3:16, never had a copy of the Word of God, never had a portion of the Bible before. We send a 20-foot container full of hundreds of thousands of John Romans to Croatia, to Africa. It's gone within a week. 2 weeks at most. There's a hunger, there's a desire, there's a need for the Word of God out there. But, you know, even across the United States, I would print maybe 3,000 to 5,000 booklets for a church in the United States. We did 2 years ago, we printed for someone in kind of in the Midwest. I won't mention the church there, but so we printed for him, and he seemed like he had a drive and desire to want to get the Word of God out there. A year later, we come back to visit, and I see the boxes that we unloaded and put in this one area in his office were still there. So he was a little bit slack in getting the Word of God out there. And now a year after that, 2 years later from the time we printed from him, that church is closed. So why do you think that is? I believe that they've lost their drive. They've lost their fire for the Word of God. There wasn't any drive there. It just kind of letting things go. And God obviously didn't bless that. But, you know, the churches, they're losing their fire, the one that they once had for the Word of God. There's a quote inside your conference booklet that I think is pretty powerful there. It says, it's about Faith Promise. It says, a Faith Promise Missions Conference is the most important business meeting your church will have this year. There's only one item of business on the agenda, the fate of the heathen. Each of the members will vote by your giving, we vote for them to hear the gospel so they can be saved, or by failing to give, we vote for them to go to hell without hearing the gospel. Every member must vote one way or another. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Now, we can't let that fire for missions go out. We can't let that fire for seeing lost souls saved die off or grow dim. Now, that's why we're here. That's why it's important to have a missions conference, to kind of get us refocused on what's important. The mission of the church is missions. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to keep in mind, is the mission of the church. So if you would, Jeremiah chapter 20. I'll have a bit of an introduction once I find it. Jeremiah chapter 20. I'll have a couple points here. I trust will be a challenge and an encouragement to you as we go through the message. The title for my message tonight is, How Hot Is Your Fire? How Hot Is Your Fire? Let's read Jeremiah 20 and verses 7 through 9. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocked me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But it doesn't stop there, does it? And this is the part I want to focus on a little bit later. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of it. We thank you that we can have it, we can hold it, we can hear it tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless the time that you've given us together here. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would set down among us, stir our hearts, Lord. And Lord, that you would get the glory for all that's said and done in this place tonight. We love you, Lord, and ask for your blessings now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, many of you may get excited with your favorite football team or baseball team, maybe hockey. I think Alaska is pretty big on hockey, right? Maybe there's something that really kind of gets you charged up and you really get excited about it. You know, maybe at work or at school, you're kind of excited about a project or being a straight A student or taking those tests. And I was never that person. But, you know, maybe there's something like that that just kind of gets you motivated, gets you excited. I want to ask you, does the Word of God get you excited like that? You know, do you get excited about the things of God, about missions, about going telling others about Christ? You know, where's your motivation? Where's your drive? How hot is your fire for the things of God and missions tonight? What is your level of excitement and motivation for serving the Lord given to missions? You know, maybe there was a time where you were on fire for missions. Maybe you were on fire for the things of God, but that flame maybe has slowly faded over time. Maybe it's just kind of flickering a little bit. No longer get excited about missions or serving. Just kind of going through the motions, everyday motions, punching that Christian clock, right? Showing up to church. We all know how to play church and do those things. Maybe you've kind of gotten into that slump. And my prayer tonight is that you'd rekindle that fire in your heart. Renew your love for God and supporting missions. And I want to take a peek into Jeremiah's life here and see what it was that motivated him to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward despite some of the challenges and the disappointments and discouragements that he had throughout his life. We all know the basic story there of Jeremiah, that his message and purpose was to warn Judah to repent. He was the voice of God. He was a prophet. And his words reveal the love of God despite the unfaithfulness of the people. Chapter after chapter, no matter where you turn, you read that they wouldn't hearken, they wouldn't listen. They were just disobedient. But Jeremiah was chosen to be a prophet before he was born. The familiar verse there, Jeremiah 1:5, where he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So Jeremiah tirelessly preached to a people who just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hearken. They were disobedient. But he was God's messenger, and he was there to deliver God's message. And throughout the book, the Lord speaks through Jeremiah, and he's admonishing the people of Judah and Israel to get back to the old paths, get back to the old ways, warning them to change their ways and repent. Let's take a look in Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6:10 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hear, or they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Then drop down to verse 16 through 19. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is that good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Verse 18, "Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they rejected it." Jeremiah knew that Judah was headed for a certain destruction because they had let their light grow dim. They had lost that drive. They refused to walk in the old paths. And I want to pause here for a minute and say that if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Savior, you're headed for a certain destruction. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. That's the center of all that we are, the center of all that we do. That's our drive, our motivation. If you don't know Christ, I pray that tonight or throughout this week that the Holy Spirit will prick your heart and you'll come to know Christ personally. I'm not talking just a profession. There's a lot of professors in churches today that profess Christ. I'm talking about a possessor. Do you possess Christ? Do you know Him in your heart personally? You know, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ, my prayer to you is that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of your heart. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, all to that personal relationship with Christ. The people in Judah were stubborn. They were stubborn. Over in chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but we read that they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to Jeremiah, but walked in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Folks, we need to not only be moving forward in God's will, but we need to be moving God's will forward. And we need to be not going backward in what He's called us to do, but always moving forward, supporting missions, supporting missionaries. That's a way that we can keep moving God's will forward in many different ways. If we're not called to go, maybe we can give. If we can't give, we can pray, but we can all do something. We all need to do something. Judah was following after strange gods. They were trusting in their own wisdom, their own strength for success, and they were slipping further and further from God. Maybe you've been trusting in your own wisdom and your own strength. You've achieved a certain level of success on your own. And there's nothing wrong with success. I've experienced a little bit of success in my life. Lord is blessed. It's a blessing from God. But what about your relationship with Christ? Where is your heart at when it comes to supporting missions, of doing the things of God, doing the things that God's called you to do? Are you motivated by money, by prestige, by power, those kinds of things? Or are you at a point where you can give that away, give that aside and say, okay, Lord, you're calling me to do this. I'm going to follow you despite the rank, the prestige, all those things. That happened to me. I had to make that decision. God called me out of the military and into the ministry. I had a good thing going there. But I follow my Lord, and my Lord is blessed exceedingly abundantly above. Don't know what He's doing in your life, but you know, maybe you'll come to that point where you have to give those things up. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready to do that? Are you motivated to do that? You know, back to Jeremiah, like most of the prophets, Jeremiah was despised. He was persecuted. He was mistreated. They even tried to have him executed. In Jeremiah 26 and verse 8, it says, the priests and the prophets and all the people that took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. You know, Jeremiah was simply just trying to fulfill his calling. He was just out there doing his job, doing what he was called to do. But then when the people were confronted with sin, what's the easiest way to get rid of it? Get rid of the person, right? Get rid of the messenger. So they tried to shut him up. They tried to get rid of the source there. Then in chapter 37, Jeremiah was put into prison. Chapter 38, he's thrown down in a well, left to die. And pretty much right in the middle of all that's going on here, that's our verse in chapter 20, where we see Jeremiah getting discouraged. So obviously he's going through some challenges. There's some things in his life here. He's not seeing results, and he's getting a little down in the dumps there. So Jeremiah was letting those circumstances take him to that place of wanting to give up. And in our verses there in chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, he's complaining that everyone's mocking me. Everyone's ridiculing me. Woe is me. Had that poochy lip kind of attitude there. You can kind of sense it. You know, that doesn't happen to any of us when we're out there trying to witness to others or soul win, right? Knocking on doors. We don't get discouraged, do we, when the door gets slammed in our face or people say, no, I don't need that. I'm good. That happens to us all the time. But we shouldn't let that get us down. It shouldn't let us get discouraged. Just keep driving on. Keep pressing on. We don't have to answer to those people. We have to answer to the Lord. We got to be faithful to what God's called us to do and what He's calling us to do. So Jeremiah then makes his bold statement in chapter 20 and verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Can you imagine getting to that point of discouragement? So discouraged, so disappointed that you don't even want to proclaim the truth anymore to those around you. Don't even want to talk to your family. Don't even want to talk to your coworkers. You're just so discouraged, so disappointed. Say, I just won't mention him anymore. And that's kind of where Jeremiah was at. Some of you may have been there before and you can relate. Maybe some of you are there now. Maybe you're at that point where, you know, why do I want to support missions? Why do I need to go soul winning? Why do I need to do this ministry or that ministry? Now, let me encourage you tonight. If God's called you to do it, just keep moving forward. Don't be discouraged because you never know how close you are to victory if you just walk away. We got to keep plowing. Got to keep going. Now, Jeremiah was at that place of discouragement. Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. Now it's possible that Jeremiah would spend all of his time there throughout the day, going to throughout the neighborhoods there, maybe the local Kaladi Brothers Coffee that was around there in Judah, maybe the Fred Meyers or whatever marketplace was out there, just talking to everybody, as many people as he can, just trying to tell them, repent, and just telling them that they have to turn back. But yet no results, nothing was happening. But even though nobody seemed to listen to Jeremiah, even though he didn't see any fruits from his labor, God still had a plan to use him. And God still has a plan to use us. As Brother Joe mentioned last night during his message, he said that you were made on purpose for a purpose. I like that. You're made on purpose for a purpose. All of us can contribute to the Great Commission. We can all do something. God has a plan and purpose to use us. So don't give up on the Lord, because He doesn't give up on us. When I was in high school, I was considered a nobody. I was labeled a loser, a failure, someone who'd never amount to anything. I stayed back in the seventh grade, all those kinds of things. And, you know, I went through those challenges in my life, but God never gave up on me. And when I got saved, I got serious, and I gave my life over to the Lord. And He turned my life completely around. And He's done some pretty good things in my life that I only give Him the glory for, because I know where I've come from, and I know it wasn't me that got me where I'm at. And it was all the Lord. But it was all just given God, putting Him first and allowing Him to work in your life. And you probably heard this before. God doesn't call the qualified, but He qualifies the called. So if you're called to do something, He'll give you the tools. He'll give you the talents. He'll give you what you need to keep moving forward to accomplish the plan and purpose that He has for you specifically. So while we begin to see Jeremiah going through this woe is me kind of an attitude here, we also see that his moment of discouragement doesn't last very long. It's almost like that light bulb goes off. Before he even finished uttering his complaint there in verse 9, the first part, there's something deep down inside that wouldn't let him stay discouraged, something that wouldn't let him stay down. And it was at that precise moment that the Word of God brought him back to reality and gave him that drive to continue his mission and his calling. Look at the end there, chapter 20 and verse 9. He says, "But His Word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, that I became weary with forbearing, that I could not stay." Folks, it was the Word of God that brought him back from the brink. It was the Word of God that encouraged him once again. And it was the Word of God that changed his heart and challenged him to keep moving forward. And I want to say that it's the Word of God that will keep you moving forward if you're going through that valley of discouragement today. God wants to use you and bless you in ways that we don't even know. We just need to be faithful to fulfill the calling He's given to us. Jeremiah knew his mission of warning the people about their sin and idolatry, and the Bible says he became weary with forbearing. Forbearing means to hold back. He just couldn't hold back. He couldn't keep it in. He had a sense of duty, if you will. He knew that God had a plan and a purpose for his life, that God touched his lips to speak to the people way back in the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 1. He just couldn't keep silent. But how about you tonight? How about you? Do you have that fire in your bones? Do you forbear? Do you have a desire to want to see lost souls come to Christ? Where are you at regarding that? The Apostle Paul had a fire in his bones when he entered Athens. It says his heart was stirred there in Acts chapter 17:16. He says he saw the whole city given over to idolatry. He saw sin throughout the city, and he just couldn't hold back. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says that woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He just couldn't forbear. He just couldn't hold back. He had to preach. He had to tell others. If we would have the same unquenchable drive, the same unquenchable desire for the Word of God, for the love of God, for the things of God, imagine what we can do as we get out there and just serve the Lord. In the remaining time we have together tonight, I want to quickly look at some four facts here. Now, do we have any firefighters here? I know we have one. I talked to him. Well, you have my permission to sleep during this portion of the message, so because the information that I got was from the internet, so it must be true. So just want to see if you're awake there. But no, if you have any discrepancies, let me know. But, you know, when we study the life cycle of a fire, we see that there's four stages that a fire needs to go through. Four stages of a fire. Well, what does it have to do with my message? Well, stay with me tonight. I'm going somewhere with this. I want to use this life cycle of a fire as a backdrop as to what was going on with Jeremiah. But I also want to encourage you to view these different stages of a fire through the lens of what's the Lord taking you through right now? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord regarding these different stages? And so the first stage of a fire is what? You can't have a fire without a spark, right? You need some kind of ignition, some kind of spark. So that's the first stage, a spark stage. It's when fuel and oxygen encounter an external source or a spark. Now, many large wildfires have been started with just a simple spark. There was a couple dozen throughout Alaska, I think, this summer. I know we had a lot in South Dakota as well, all because of one spark. The power and energy that one spark has can rapidly manifest itself and become hotter and stronger than when it was first started. Think about our Baptist history. Throughout our Baptist history as well, we know many a spiritual revival or spiritual wildfire, if you will, has started because of one spark. One person, one spark who is willing to be bold for Christ. We read about it during the Great Awakening when revival broke out in Massachusetts and Philadelphia with folks like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield. It said that George Whitefield's preaching was like striking a match to an already tender spiritual awakening. Spiritually dry fuel was there in abundance. It just needed that spark of God's Word. It needed that one person to ignite that flame to get things started. Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday, they're all examples of single sparks that the Lord used to preach against sin. And those single sparks led to revival and spread to thousands of souls. So the spark for Jeremiah was a simple opportunity to get out there, to talk to others, to tell them, to warn them, and to repent of their sin. Every day, every new person that he'd speak with was that new spark that kept him going, hoping that somebody would listen. Now, we too need to be stirred to tell others about Christ, what Christ has done for us, what Christ has done for them. And that needs to be a spark for us as we go out soul winning, go door to door, bus ministry, whatever ministry you're called to. Let that be your spark throughout each and every week, each and every day. To be that one person to give a John Romans or a tract to a needy soul, that'll start the process. Are you that person? Are you that spark that'll get things ignited, that'll get things going in someone's life? The next stage of a fire is called the growth stage. This is simply the availability of fuel, such as grass, surrounding trees, if you will, buildings, something that'll just keep the fire going. So that's the growth stage, the fuel. The growth stage for Jeremiah was simply doing God's will and taking the words of God to as many people as he can. That was his fuel. That's what kept him going there. From the coffee shops to the marketplace to the prison, his mission was to tell the people about the truth. And every day, he gathered all that available fuel around him until there was nothing left. But the backsliding and unrepentant hearts of the people, that was the main issue. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hearken. They wouldn't move forward. Their hearts were so drenched with the world, if you will, that that spark of the word just wouldn't ignite because they were just so overcome and consumed with other things. No, but that didn't stop Jeremiah. He said in chapter 15, "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You know, God's word and God's call in his life, that was that special sauce, if you will, for Jeremiah. That's what kind of kept things together for him. That's what kept him moving forward every day. And God's word and God's call in our life needs to be that special sauce. That special something that we have that makes us different, that keeps us moving forward despite the discouragement that we have, despite the circumstances that we may go through. As our love for God's word grows, our drive and desire will grow to do what he's calling us to do, to support missions, to get involved in church and the ministries and those kinds of things. You know, we are all called to go ye into all the world and to preach, not just for missionaries, not just for pastors. You're all ye's here. Go ye into all the world. There's many ways you can do that. As I mentioned, prayer, giving, going, whatever it is that God's called you to do. You just need to do it. We need to be obedient. You know, some of us are physically called to go, some to give, but every person can do something. And Jeremiah just wasn't loafing around timidly witnessing, was he? He was out there. Chapter 20, verse 8 says that he cried out. He cried violence and spoil. It doesn't say that he said, "Hey, you know, you're not doing the right things here. You better get your life right." He wasn't doing that. He was preaching. He was proclaiming. The Hebrew word for cried out and cried means to announce or to proclaim, to call out, to preach. That's what he was doing. He was out there doing his part, trying to make a difference. So I ask, what are you doing? What has the Lord called you to do? Are you proclaiming? Are you preaching? Are you getting the word out? I'm not saying go into the middle of a shopping area and just stand up on the counter and, you know, we have to be reserved about what we're doing. There's a place for street preaching and those kinds of things. But, you know, if God's giving you an opportunity, be bold. Be bold. Be out there and share the word. Share the truth. Don't hold back. You know, as you look around where the Lord has placed you, no doubt there's plenty of opportunities to share the truth and the love of Christ with those around you. But the question is, do you first have that spark? Do you have that spark? Do you have that drive? Do you have that desire? Has it dried up? And secondly, the growth stage. Are you using all that available fuel that God has placed around you? Spending time in His Word. Spending time in the ministries that He may have called you to. Following His call in your life. Now the third stage of a fire is called the fully developed stage. This stage is when a fire has spread and consumed all the available fuel. It's at the fully developed point. It can't get any hotter, any bigger. Everything's kind of burning up. And that's the hottest point. For Jeremiah, we see the fully developed stage for him is when his zeal for warning others has reached its peak. He's exhausted the opportunities that he's had to warn the people. He was in tears daily. He knew that the king of Babylon was coming, closing in and coming to destroy the city. And he knew that the people needed to repent and turn back to God. But they wouldn't hearken. They wouldn't listen. So he exhausted every opportunity every day his efforts for reaching the people. He would exhaust that every day until he couldn't reach anymore. No matter how hard or how often he preached to the people to turn back to God, nobody changed their direction. He didn't see one person converted there. Over 50 years, he witnessed and he saw an entire nation decline and become captive. In our Christian walk, we'll never reach, we should never reach that fully developed stage until we get to heaven. We should always be working, always tilling, always plowing, always getting out there, doing what God's calling us to do, and never think that we've arrived, because there's always work to do. There's always something to do for God. And we need to be stirred in our hearts, keep growing in our faith, keep plowing those fields, keep sowing the seed, supporting missions, keep that light burning, and not let that discouragement keep us from doing what God's called us to do. And that final stage is called decay or burnout. So that fourth and final stage is a decay or burnout stage. You can probably see where I'm going with this one. This occurs when there's nothing left, everything's out, and there's nothing left to burn. Here, Jeremiah was at that burnout stage there in verse 20 and verse 9. When he says, "I won't make mention of him anymore, I'm done, I'm through," and that's it. That's kind of where he was at. That flame that was once steady and strong starts to flicker. So no doubt, he's physically and mentally exhausted. He's done everything that he physically could. And he's at the end. You know, that never happens to us, does it? We never feel like we've kind of reached, we've done all that we can, and we're just going to give up. I know for me, that's happened to me many times. throughout my military career and even in ministry. I'm new at this. I've been doing this for 4 years. But I'm doing what God's called me to do. And there's times of discouragement, times of disappointment. But we need to keep pressing on. We need to keep driving on because it's not about me. It's all about Him. And we need to keep that in perspective as we move forward. I just want to encourage you that it's worth it to stay close to God. It's worth it when you stay close to His Word. It's worth it when you know His will, when you do His will. And when you can warn others and encourage others about what Christ has done for you. Just be that testimony. Just be that witness. And let them see the light of Christ in your life. The key is letting Him lead you through your circumstances and never giving up. And because you do know, you never know how close you are to victory if you just walk away. Brother Joe gave that example last night of someone deciding to miss church and go fishing. And that was the day that the pastor preached a good message and the Holy Spirit came down and revival happened. But that one person just decided, I've had enough. I'm going to go fishing. Don't be that person to miss out on God's blessing. Stay with it. Stay at it. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. That verse there in 20 verse 9, we see that despite being discouraged, despite being at a low point in his ministry, he realized that he may have wanted to walk away from God, but God didn't leave him. And God won't leave us either. Look at the last part there again in 20 verse 9 where he says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. It all came back to the Word of God, folks. The Word of God burning in his heart. It was still burning. It was that one ember that was left amongst all the challenges that he went through. And when the Holy Spirit wind just blew over that ember and just ignited that fire once again, that's all that he needed. No matter how hard it became, no matter how disappointed he was, it was the Word of God that was in his heart. And it was the Word of God that sustained him. And it's the Word of God that will do the same for us. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to trust the Word of God as we move through our lives and whatever He's called us to do. That Word of God needs to remain our focus and our fuel as we simply just stay close to Him, remain faithful, faithful to give out His Word, faithful to be a witness, faithful to be a testimony, faithful to grow where He's planted us, wherever that is. It doesn't just happen overnight. We need to make that commitment in our heart to have that sense of duty, sense of obligation. To what he's done for us. We have a commitment. We should just be naturally want to give out and tell others about what he's done in our lives. It's that sense of duty. It's being able to get to that point where we know that we know that we know that we're doing what God wants us to do. No matter what anyone tries to discourage us from, no matter what anyone tries to tell us, if we know that God wants us in a certain location doing a certain thing, we move forward because he's put us there and he'll give us the tools and whatever we need to keep moving. Now, I didn't ask to be where I am today. Like I mentioned, I had a pretty good thing going in the military. Could have kept going in the military, but God called me here, and I'm being obedient to God. And God has blessed exceedingly abundantly above in the ministry, not because of me, but in spite of me. When we first took over the ministry, we were doing about 200,000 booklets a year. Now we're over half a million booklets in a year. I mean, God is blessing, and he's using what I learned in the military, those tools and things I learned in the military, I'm using in ministry now. So he's prepared me very uniquely, very specifically for doing this right now. Yeah, but how about you? What is God doing in your life? What is he stirring up in your heart? Where have you come from? I mean, where is he taking you through? And where are you going? What direction are you headed? There's a plan and a purpose there. If there's a fire burning, if there's an ember burning, that longing to know God, that longing to do his will, stay with it. Focus on the Lord. Focus on what he's calling you to do. Serving God. Whatever it is, how hot is your fire for those things that he's called you to do? So first you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Are you walking with God? Is he speaking to your heart? Then second, do you have that spark for telling others about him? Are you fully surrendered to what he's calling you to do? Are you giving him time? Are you giving him your talents? Are you giving him your treasures? He's uniquely given you and equipped you for the ministry that he's calling you to do. Then third, are you using those available fuel sources that God's placed all around you? Are you telling others about him? Are you getting out there and being that witness, being that testimony, letting your fire grow? Or has that fire for the things of God reached its peak in your life? Maybe you're at that point to where things are starting to burn out. Well, folks, I want to encourage you as we come to close out the service tonight, get close to God. Get close to his fire. Don't let that fire burn out. He wants to use you in ways that are unique to you and to what he's called you to do. And as we prepare for a time of invitation, if you would please stand with me if you're able, with your heads bowed.